Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm still Robert Winters, like it or not.
So we're going to...
So a little bit more politics, yeah. Don't worry, not too much, unless you want more, right?
You have to let us know.
Well, I have to say that, you know, when it comes to election season in terms of hits on websites, through the roof, you know, people seem to get drawn to politics like they're drawn to sporting.
Well, they want
to
know, who are these people? Yeah. How do you vote? Da-da-da.
I always like to promote civics as opposed to politics. And yes. I got to say, what an uphill battle it is promoting civics compared to promoting politics. Yeah. People love winners and losers and all of that
stuff. That was brought up. I listened to a lot of radio stuff and that's been brought up. It's like where people don't understand how things work. They don't understand.
Yeah. It's like people don't seem to... I mean, there's a subset
only
of people in Cambridge.
Only until it gets to the celebrity level. You know,
a lot of the people who volunteer to serve on boards and commissions, you know, people who write zoning legislation voluntarily. Patrick Barrett's got 3 more in the works, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. And they're good, too. So there are people who are really, you know, the kind of people who serve on library board of trustees. We've got them. We've definitely got them. But the thing is that the hits go for the politics. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. So yeah. I think it's a shame, but it's the way it is. Anyway, there are a couple of or several candidate forums
coming
that you may want to know about.
Right.
Now there are only 2, as far as I know. Maybe there'll be another that are exclusively for school committee candidates.
Mm.
There's the Cambridgeport event where all candidates get to basically introduce themselves, including
school
committee
candidates. But that's not till the 24th, right?
Yeah, so it's later on in the month.
Why don't we,
but for right now, it's basically the 2 big ones for school committee. Right, which
right.
is sort of the unfortunately the backwater of Cambridge politics sometimes.
And yet there's 3 open seats, so it's going to be pretty contentious.
It is, and I have to say, of the 11 candidates, I got responses back from 9 candidates.
Wow.
Right, you know, because they want to get their name out, they want to be known, and they're helpful, and you know, they're great. On the other hand, 22 candidates for city council, I got responses so far back from 6 of them.
Oh, come on, what? But don't, when you say responses back, you didn't solicit it.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I actually got responses back for candidate pages without even asking.
That's what I mean.
But then one week ago, I put out the word to all candidates for city council and school committee.
Okay, so that means the response only 6?
Yeah. And actually, the number of... And also, I believe all 6 of those actually had sent me material before I asked.
And how many of those are incumbents?
1.
Oh, come on.
Maybe 2. Right. So the thing is they're kind of
slacking. But you still
have a slacking.
Page there, though.
I have.
So maybe they figure that's good enough.
I have the old, this morning.
Because it's still their website, right?
This morning I basically put a message on all the candidate pages that says a message was, an invitation was sent out on September 24th for information. This candidate has not yet responded.
But they still have the page and may still have a website that's active, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they figured that's all I need.
You know, but the thing is that this is kind of a tradition, and there are a lot of people.
So I wonder if that's a statement about them or you.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Because everyone goes to your pages.
I know. And I think there are some organizations, like maybe ABC.
And they blackballed you?
No, I don't know. I imagine before all is said and done, they'll probably try and create their own candidate pages pretty much to say
there is more stuff out there on
when I put up candidate pages, it's very much done neutrally.
Right.
You know,
and not many people are doing much of that at all.
And I've never seen anybody else do it really neutrally.
Well, I guess the time has come for change.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So anyway, so the
you
want
to go to
events,
this real quickly?
Yeah.
So
let's so this is the calendar I've been maintaining. Really, the primary purpose of the calendar is to help the organization's schedule in
so
a way that
they don't
conflict.
You
don't want to double book, right?
Yeah.
So tomorrow night, October 2nd, 6:30. The Ward 6 Democratic City Committee is having their school committee forum. They had
a school committee forum, right.
Specifically
for
the school committee
right in
candidates.
A row. That's interesting.
Right.
Okay.
And then the following night, Thursday, at 6:30, so also starting at 6:30
at
the
Central
Square Library.
The Central Square Library, which is...
Right.
Yeah.
So that's with the Cambridge Educational Association, which I believe is the successor of the Cambridge Teachers Association.
Right.
So this is basically teachers. putting right. this one together.
And they actually had it submitted a questionnaire that people
that's
had
right,
to
for people to actually do
and
it.
And you have that here if responses. We click on that. But
that's right, so you can get to the responses.
And then before next week we have...
So on Sunday at 5 o'clock at Lesley University's Washburn Auditorium, just sort of the west of Harvard Square there area. Kind of a neat little...
Is that the same place that they've had a lot of forums?
Yeah.
Is that upstairs?
No, it's a downstairs space. So it's the Cambridge Citizens Coalition. Organization kind of modeled on the old CCA. So they're having a candidates forum, presumably just all city council candidates. I didn't know if it says it, but
that's
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yeah, not enough time.
You know, it's 2 hours. Yeah, I don't know what their format
is,
but that's coming up, and it's late afternoon, so it's not a weeknight. So it might actually be. I think I'll probably go to that.
I'm gonna
one.
Go. I'll go to my gym. Yeah.
So anyway, so some of those things are happening, and it's worth knowing about it. So. Again, don't forget, school committee matters, and not just the parents, you know. And I think we should probably dedicate a little more time in future weeks about it because, you know, so much attention because of all these housing controversy, whatever, being put on city council, that school committee needs a little attention, too.
Okay.
All right. So that's a little bit of that. I'll say maybe one last little thing. We don't have to look at the data or anything, but I've been updating and keeping track of all the campaign receipts. Where is the money coming from? You know, I would follow the money.
Yep.
And I today, because the depository accounts for city councilors, the reports start coming back, you know, at the end of September. So we've got about half of the candidates, the latest info. So there's some, you know, at least one candidate has now raised over $80,000 or spent over, you know, some, I mean, you know, and before all is said and done, I think we're going to break some records here.
You think?
Yeah, I think we're going to break some records. I think the highest amount I've ever seen spent on a city council campaign was close to $100,000, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to hit that, you know. So, you know, and it's interesting following the money. I don't know that, you know, like without naming names, if you actually look and see where the receipts are going, you can see that amongst the A, B, C endorsees, there are certain candidates who seem to be getting more money from the A, B, C people.
Do you consider them development people then? When you say
Not so clearly, but yeah, in a way.
All right.
They want to build more and more development. That's true. Yeah. You know, density. But it's all because they prefer high density housing, etc. So, but the thing is that the money is not coming in uniformly for all their slate candidates. They're definitely, I think... They basically, you know, job one is make sure whoever replaces Jan Devereaux is one of our guys, is one of the, what they're trying to push. And I think on the other side with the Residents Alliance, I think you'll see the money flowing toward candidates who replaces Devereaux. Now, are we going to have 8 incumbents return plus who replaces Devereaux? It could be that. And then the subplot becomes one of, who can you pick off of the perceived weaker candidates? I mean, there were a couple of candidates who didn't reach quota last time, so they were probably perceived as weak. I don't know if they really are weak, but, you know, because there is a bit of a phenomenon, somebody who doesn't do super well in one election, they actually earn some sympathy for the subsequent election, and they do stronger. So, but anyway, we'll see who's being targeted subtly. It's always subtly because... In a PR election campaign, you can't, negative campaigning kind of works against you.
Mm-hmm.
So what you typically do is you say, I love my fellow candidate here, who, by the way, he tended to vote terribly on this, that, and the other thing. So it's kind of a love, and then they kind of give you the shiv, you know. But it'll be interesting watching that play itself out, you know. Mm. I haven't been to a single candidate forum yet, by the way.
Well, there's been the ABC. I went to that. I did not go to the Ward 6.
And the Revolution one.
Oh, there was a climate one. I would have gone to.
One,
I did, could not
and
go.
And I couldn't go to that either. So.
And right, so there's been 4, kind of.
Yeah.
They're kind of more heating up. Yeah.
So anyway, bottom line, then we should move away from this, is that the slates are interesting, but think for yourself. Absolutely think for yourself. And then the CCTV videos will help you.
Right, and they're linked
and
on your page, right?
Yep, we're interlinking everything.
And the last thing, if they want to know more about PR and how to vote, what's the best source? Is it the Election Commission? Is
give
it
me
your
a phone
page?
Call. No, just...
No!
Actually...
Do you have anything, a primer on your site?
Yes, I do. And if you go to the candidate pages and just go right down below the pictures of the candidates, there's a whole bunch of links you can go to with all, you know, up to and including really technical information, but primarily really basic.
Good. And this do is that, what you should do. You know, your vote counts.
Yeah, basically what I did, I just reprinted stuff from the Election Commission. Okay. And maybe
which you could
did a
also
few
find stuff there, I guess.
On that. All right. So what else is going on around town?
Oh,
here?
I don't know. I want to just say that thing about the straws. I just thought it was so funny.
Oh, yeah. So
SNL had their season Saturday premiere on Saturday Night Live, and it was Woody Harrelson, who I normally like. I didn't like him so much. But anyway, they had a little forum with Democratic candidates, right? And
Maya Rudolph as Kamala Harris was spotlessly beautiful.
Yes, and of course,
wonderful.
My favorite, Larry David as Bernie.
Bernie Sanders, yes.
But Joe Biden was played by Woody Harrelson, and he says, I'm like plastic straws. I've been around forever. I've always worked, but now you're mad at me? Priceless.
Right, and coming from Hal David was especially perfect
too.
Anyway, because it was like a hybrid of Bernie Sanders and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It was coming from Harrelson, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, because
they're both.
Oh, Larry David was priceless.
Yeah.
I mean, he has done him before, but looks like him.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it was really particularly great. Yeah. So there are some things kind of on the civic front that are perhaps noteworthy. When you went to or watched the video of...
I watched two of the ordinance meetings.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what the first one was. It was something to do with, do you know?
Which one?
Greg Kelly ran it. It was right before the 530 one on the CARP.
There was one that's called the Article 19 petition.
That's what it was.
Okay.
Oh.
I actually find that one kind of interesting.
It was to change language on something, right?
Yeah, okay. So right now, there are certain... if you do a development project in Cambridge and it's over a certain threshold for a number of square feet of development, you have to produce a traffic study.
Various
other things are required. You're subject to things that, perhaps other potential projects might not actually have to abide
now.
By. So there was a prior... filing of a zoning petition by, I believe it was Dennis Carlone and Quentin Zondervan.
To an amendment?
To amend it, basically, to require, like, energy impacts, tree canopy impacts, infrastructure impacts, whatever.
Green, but yeah, all the net zero stuff, yeah.
There are some who believe, I might believe, that the real purpose of this is pretty much to monkey wrench and make sure... developments can't happen, but on the other hand,
or to happen right.
But on the other hand, I'm kind of respectful of it because I think that it is a good idea to actually see what the infrastructure impacts of projects are. But if ultimately you're going to nix a facility because it might actually consume energy, and be not net zero, and therefore you're just going to stop it cold. I don't know if I agree with that. You know, to me, for example, which is better from an environmental point of view, to have one of these companies located outside of Cambridge, where there's people commuting to and fro and having a negative environmental impact, or allowing it to exist in Cambridge, even if it is a net user of energy, but if you look at it. If they were going to open up somewhere, is it better to have them open in Cambridge with a little bit net positive energy use as opposed to someplace else, which is a clear negative environmental impact? Hmm. I kind of would prefer that some of these companies locate here, not all. Honestly, I think we should share the wealth. Hmm. You know, there's no reason why every biotech thing in creation should be in Cambridge. But
it's where the brains
are. You know, I don't. But just trying to monkey wrench things to sort of jam things, I'm not so sure if I'm all together with that.
And the word that comes to mind now, because I kept hearing it from Craig Kelly, was fuzzy language. It wasn't clear language.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that was on the amendment or I don't know. I'd have to relook at it. But it wasn't interesting. When I listened to it, it was interesting. I just.
You know, listen, I always call myself an E&I
And there was no
guy.
Public comment. So, of course, it was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
True.
But still, there was no...
But to me, environment and infrastructure do go hand in hand.
And there were some interesting things said also by Nancy Glauer, because there was some legal stuff being...
Yeah.
So I think it was very worthwhile.
So that's
it's an hour and a half video, so you could catch
it. Now, on the other hand, then there was...
Then there was
the
CARP.
The CARP, which has to do with the Cambridge Site Galleria, and the kind of...
Yeah.
the owners.
Planned unit development, which would be, what, 8 to 10 years?
They want to create a new planned unit development.
Can you explain for people what that
more
is?
More or less, what, as opposed to setting if you set a zoning district that says you can build up to 85 feet and you can build up to FAR of 4.0 or whatever, then, you know, you can just build as of right. You don't have to really ask for much of anything. Unless there's a special permit process that
which you might want
to take advantage
of. This was sort of a
special. But a planned unit development is a fundamentally different thing. So it's usually for larger sites like the Volpe site or...
this is an 8-acre site, by the way. Somebody asked that,
Or, you know, University Park development where it's actually, it's expected to be rolled out over a period of...
You can't build it in
a decade or more, so what you do is you basically do the planning of it not... just based purely on strict height limits, but as part of an overall package, which you shape in conjunction with the planning board.
And so also the community.
There's a lot of community process and whatever. So the real question is the Galleria, you know, Cambridge Side Galleria, as it was envisioned back in 1970s, I guess, or 80s,
it worked.
So the thing is it still working? Is it?
Yeah, well, I think there's some empty spaces, but it is, compared to some that I've seen, it offers more than some, and it is urban.
Right.
So,
but a lot of the mall, the retail entries are kind of empty a lot of the time because it's where malls are these days.
Well, but, more the ones you drive to.
But I've been in the food court when it was packed, and so the thing is that could we do better, right? Could they do better? Mm-hmm. Could they have a more profitable operation too?
Is that the way a lot of them are going with mixed residential and commercial? That's
right.
Really,
you
the
know,
way
malls
it's going.
All across the country are being re-envisioned.
Yeah. Arsenal
a
Yards,
mix.
Just go down into Watertown.
So it's not like segregated retail, you know, separate from housing. Yeah. We're really trying to integrate them. You know, so could you have some office use, some retail use, some housing use?
Well, that's what they want.
And you could do that, but they would want more height and density to do it. So, and I've said this before, and I'll say it one more time, which is that, to me, that development coupled with directly across the street, which is where the First Street Garage is, which is part of Leggett McCall, and the courthouse development, which is a block away, coupled with... what's going to happen around Leechmere Square when they finally move the green line to the other side of the McGrath Highway.
Big
and
changes.
Be some, So the city, actually, my understanding is the city is, staff and such are looking at this. So, so I don't think that anybody should be deciding on this petition in isolation. They should be thinking of it as a unified whole.
It doesn't expire till December 20-something, so they have time.
Now, there are a few more petitions in the pipeline.
This was put by in recess, so it's going to continue at another meeting, probably after the planning board meeting, which is October 29th.
Yeah, so I think
or after the election, that was a concern.
Right.
I think, so probably sometime in November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there was this other petition that sort of got dropped in at a few city council meetings ago about Northwest, basically around Alewife. North of Concord Ave, south of the railroad tracks.
The quadrangle?
Yeah, it's in the quadrangle.
Okay.
And, or as the upper crusties from out of town call it, the quad.
Oh.
Like Radcliffe Quad or something. But it's always been called the quadrangle. And the petition, as far as I can tell, is actually one of the few things that was completely consistent with some of the better recommendations that grew out of the Envision Cambridge process. And there weren't many.
Whose name is on that one?
I don't actually remember. I do recognize some of the names, but I don't think it's necessarily.
So where is that in the process? Is it just?
It's in there.
Have they had a planning board meeting?
They haven't met yet, but it's scheduled.
Right.
And they have an ordinance committee meeting scheduled in, I think, October.
All right, well, I'll look at
so that'll be interesting.
We'll talk about that. Yeah.
So that, but again, that doesn't affect too many people in the heart of Cambridge, but it's out on the edge of Cambridge, but it matters.
What I did forget to bring up, what came up at both of those ordinance meetings was the whole Eversource question, and that nothing should be decided, particularly about the CARP, until that is resolved.
Right.
Because that, especially that area, because it's all about new.
Well, actually, so now that's confusing to me because.
Why?
Because the thing is that I understand that there's this unresolved matter about the Grand Junction overlay petition from Joe McGuire and Alexandria.
Where are you going to get more energy from?
Right,
but
the thing is, it starts to become ridiculous. There is an obvious connection between the Fulkerson Street and the Grand Junction overlay because they're adjacent parcels, and I think they were part of the same financially intertwined.
Okay.
Carp Petition and Gallery Mall has nothing
to do. But they're still going to draw upon energy. Where are they going to get their energy from?
But now we're back to Section 19, meaning, we've already enacted the Section 19 petition, therefore, which is not true, which basically says we're not, that was the one having to do with infrastructure impacts.
Okay. The thing is, that's in the pipeline.
But there is nothing on the books that says that those things are intertwined or should be at this point.
People do think they are. Well, I'm just saying that.
The people are using whatever they can to block something. So that's it. Now, I have no opinion whether CARP is good or bad.
Bottom line, is more energy needed in Kendall Square in that whole area?
Quentin Zondervan will, again, forcefully disagree with me even here. But the thing is, in the short term, meaning for the next 5 or 10 years, whatever happens in Cambridge is going to have some net positive use, more use of energy. Well, in the long view, you know, as more alternatives emerge and are employed, I think we'll level off and we'll be okay. But you can't just stop all growth because you want to bring the future to you right now.
They did bring up, I think, CARP, that there was a lot of innovative stuff around renewable and solar and
a lot
of good stuff.
So you should make whatever happens at the, in the re-envisioned version of the gallery
and the architects should be done behind to best that, who, by the way, sounded just like Joe Biden. I know I got him on my brain, but David Manfredi.
Yeah.
I mean, they are worldwide architects.
No,
they have
good.
Built like stuff all over the place.
Right.
So,
So I hope that they build to the best possible standards. Whether it's for energy consumption, whatever.
It seems that way.
But if it's a net gain in energy use, I don't think you should block it just for that.
Right.
And it really doesn't have anything to do with how they resolve the Eversource matter. And there is, by the way, a committee meeting addressing that. I think it could be as early as tomorrow. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Dealing with the
Eversource.
The Eversource. So you can check that up.
All right.
Now, something just sort of on the horizon. So so these are zoning petitions. Not that zoning is everything in Cambridge, for goodness sake, but it is one of the few things where the council has actual power.
Yeah.
And you can't really shape everything via zoning, because zoning is a bit of a blunt instrument for that, as Ken Reeves used to say many, many times, and he's correct. You know, the thing is if you want to shape a city, you also have to just think about the city you want. Zoning is just one of the tools to help make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to these ones that are already in there, there's actually a new one which is about to get introduced, maybe as early as this Monday, I'm not sure, because I saw people pictured signing it for rezoning in Harvard Square.
Oh.
Only, unlike a previous one, I think it was called the Crone Petition, which didn't have any movement on it, this one is largely drafted with under the expert consultation of one Patrick Barrett.
Oh.
And I think it's something that when I see a picture where I see people like Suzanne Vieve with the Harvard Square Neighborhood Association and John DiGiovanni, who's like part of the business community, whatever, all in the same picture kind of promoting this, I think, okay, this is a good thing.
And this was the one that Patrick has started?
Yes. It's one of Patrick's special talents is that he actually brings people from different sides of a point of view together and actually finds consensus. So I'm actually hopeful that...
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the details of this. I'm really curious. But it'll definitely promote housing growth around Harvard Square and will probably permit some things that people find desirable in Harvard Square and maybe restrict some of things people find undesirable in Harvard Square.
By the way, that meeting is tomorrow, Wednesday at 12 o'clock. It's a continuation of the whole discussion of the Kendall Square energy.
Yeah.
And I think it's televised. In fact, a lot of...
Almost everything is by default.
You know, I think whatever happened, that's one good thing. We've complained about those things not being televised enough.
Yeah.
I know it's an ordinance committee, but still, a lot of meetings are getting televised.
There was an order from City Councilor Toomey,
who basically...
They were actually asking for individual ones to get televised, and I think he said, why don't we just televise all of them? And I think it's pretty much happened now.
Which, it's about time. I mean,
no, I agree.
You know,
I agree. There's really no
reason
why not.
They have the capability.
Not. But now also in the pipeline from Mr. Patrick Barrett, coming, not yet fully drafted, but he has promised today, this is in social media today, a zoning petition that will address the Webster Street, Columbia Street, East Cambridge to the Somerville Line area. Really to promote some increased heights, but increased residential FAR, parking reductions, which I think a lot of people like. By the way, this is actually going to be a short walk to the new Green Line stop in the future. And some other changes as well.
Where is this posted? Does he have a website?
This was actually on Facebook, I think, today.
Facebook, okay.
And then also in the works will be another Central Square petition, right? This one will increase, you have additional height. Now, I don't think Patrick is fully expecting to get everything.
No,
but the thing is that, but it's would permit additional height, but under the condition, which is pretty much a match for the one good thing that came out of the housing working group of Envision Cambridge, which was what they called super inclusionary. So in other words, more height, but the thing is you would require 25% to 30% inclusionary, which is
that
a big jump.
I just saw the height limit. That's not going to fly. That's not even 200
All right,
so
this is definitely subject to amendment, but the point is that you probably produce more housing and affordable housing this
way. Might as well ask for the world and maybe settle for something else.
Well, nobody thought Mass and Main would get built either when that was first proposed.
Right, but I'm just saying, I think that people are now more wary.
Right. There's also in their language having to do with an arts overlay as well for Central Square.
Well, I thought we do have an arts overlay, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it doesn't exist.
That never went anywhere?
No. There was meetings about it, but there's nothing substantial.
Right, but it didn't get into the pipeline.
This is where it could become substantial.
All right.
Right.
Well, put
that
on your calendar somewhere.
Right. Well, the thing is, I got to see details. I can't put up unformed
ideas.
Again, for those of you who live and breathe zoning and think that it's the only way to make things happen, you're wrong. But it can be useful. And so there are some, presumably after this election is settled, maybe we'll have some movement in this way.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you get a bunch of people left alone and get elected, they'll
stop.
Almost say, evil capitalists, we must stop them.
Go to some forums, and we'll see you next week. And then maybe, there aren't that, but, we'll adapt to the school camp. There's no...
Remember, it's only 5 weeks to election day. At some point, we should talk a little bit more about the mechanics of PR, because it's kind of a tradition.
I hope you have some graphics.
I have always promised.
Last year I said graphics, and you didn't produce those.
One day I'll actually plug in the computer and run the software here. We'll see.
But still, graphics.
Anyway,
all right.
We'll see you
next week.
See you next week on Cambridge Inside Out.
Bye.